We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorlin' U.
Welcome in ahead of week 5 in college football. This thing is flying by, and I'll tell you, we got to get up off the mat. I mean, that last week, week 4, was an absolute slaughterhouse. And it makes you feel a little better when you look around, you look at the people who do this for a living, the sports betting pros. College football this season has been an absolute disaster for a lot of the people who really get down and really do this. You look at like the things that have changed, the NIL, the transfer portal rules, a lot of teams not having a ton of continuity, bringing in new people. The parity is at a much higher level because everybody has access to the same clearinghouse when it comes to getting some of these players. So you look at what's been going on. It's been really, really difficult to handicap this sport this season. A lot of it being unsure about what we're seeing. But now we're getting to the point where, look, the data's there. We've seen a lot of these teams play, like USC. We kind of know what they are now. When you look at a lot of teams like Michigan State, who a lot of people were high on, my team, that's an auto fade. I mean, if you look at like the way that opened, it was they were a favorite in the look ahead at Maryland. That's a 7.5-point underdog on the road in Maryland now. We have data points that suggest, okay, we know where to go with these things. So I want to get through the recap for last week, and then I think we really got to just hunker down, be patient, trust the process. I still feel like in a lot of situations we've been on the right side of these games. Rutgers, Iowa, a great example. This will just kick off the recap here from last week. Rutgers, Iowa is a great example because, again, right side, it felt like most of that game. Rutgers gets up 3-0 early, down 7-3, but Iowa can't move the ball. It's the same story. The offense, I mean, this isn't just bad. This might be the worst offense in America, but because they're opportunistic defensively, they get those turnovers, they get those extra opportunities, defensive touchdowns. The defense for Iowa scoring 10 points a game right now. 9.5, I think, is the number. They're only allowing 5.5 points a game. So we're at that point where, yeah, Rutgers was the right side, but you just have to be careful now betting against Iowa, and we'll get to that. Because they're so opportunistic defensively, you almost have to handicap in that they're going to score some defensive points. They're going to turn the ball over in negative field position for the opponent. They're going to get freebie chances. Even as bad as Spencer Petras is, they're going to get freebie chances where they're inside the opponent red zone starting a drive because of opportunistic defensive plays, and they have an opportunity to go out and get some points on the board. And that's kind of what happened against Rutgers, where they got two turnovers that led to points, and you end up, oh, well, if you bet Rutgers, you're screwed. That's going to happen, and we go through the rest of this. I mean, Clemson -7 at Wake, again, felt right, but man, that Wake offense made Clemson's secondary just look atrocious. I mean, that secondary for Clemson, strong defensive front. We knew coming into the season a lot of replacements on that secondary. If you watched them against Georgia Tech, it took some time to get started early on in the year. They're getting better now, but against Wake, and this is a good Wake offense. It was at home, Wake Forest. It was their Super Bowl. But it felt like Clemson -7 should have covered if the secondary just could have made a few more plays. Again, that's a spot where you kind of have to trust that your process is working correctly. And I'm going to talk about both those teams, Clemson and Wake, as we move into the Week 5 stuff. But I just want to get through this recap quickly because, look, I'll be the first to say it. I got fucking slaughtered. I got absolutely killed. And I'm not going to hide from stuff like that. I think you listen to a lot of these people giving out plays, a lot of handicappers. They'll tell you all about when they win. They want to hide from the losses, or they'll give you a 3-game parlay with a losing leg and claim they went 2-1. No, that's not how it works. And I'm not going to hide. Like, when things are going difficult, that's what sports betting is. If this were easy, we'd all be poolside. We'd all be retired. None of us would work. It's not.
not. It's supposed to be hard. And I've told you every week that I've done this. If you're at a point where you're not having fun doing it, stop doing it. Because if it's not entertaining, if you're starting to like lose money that's real to you, it's time to cut it out. The best way to do this is to generate a bankroll, put some money aside that you're comfortable losing, because the reality is the vast majority of people that do this are going to lose. People who do this for a living hit 56 to 58% of the time. If your buddy Billy down the street's telling you he's got 75% on the NFL this season, he's lying. If he's telling you that he's hitting 80% of his games in college football, he's lying. Like, you just, nobody does that. It's not possible. The best in history is like 62%. So if you're not having fun doing this, the goal here, the reason that I want to do Snorling You is because there's so much college football out there every week that I think has a chance to be thrilling. And the best way that you can make it thrilling for yourself is if you put a little bread on it. If you get a little more interested because you got some skin in the game, that will make things fun. If it's not fun, if it's not adding to your entertainment value, it's time to get out. I'm going to keep putting my nose to the grindstone. I'm going to keep working harder. I'm going to keep the grind going. I'm going to trust the process that I have, and we're going to get through this, and I'm hoping we'll get some winning weeks. This week, I want to rise. I said last week, I want to rise like a phoenix out of the ashes. This is the week. This is the week we come back. Like it was Scott Frost's year. I'm hoping a different result, but this is the week. Arkansas plus two at A&M I gave you last week. Boy, if I had a caps for the Arkansas kicker just bouncing one off the upright, we'd be all thrilled right now. Instead, that pushes. Arkansas loses by two, robs us of what should have been a top 10 matchup. Alabama at Arkansas this weekend. That's a game I will talk about. Stanford plus 14 at Washington. Time to stop betting on Stanford. Washington's offense is legit. Michael Penix, that passing offense, they look really, really good. Stanford, on the flip side, the defense is as bad as advertised. They can't cover anything. The offense can move the ball, little turnover happy. They don't finish drives as well as you'd like. So it's time to kind of give up on Stanford. But again, that's another spot where I saw a big number. I felt like Washington was overvalued. That game wasn't an enormous blowout. It felt like the 14 could have covered. We were in a chance late in the fourth quarter to get into that plus 14 happy zone. Just sometimes doesn't work out. Syracuse minus 9 against Virginia. That was the Friday night special last week. Brutal loss. Syracuse gets out 16-0 lead. Ends up just absolutely vomiting on themselves, despite having Sean Tucker in the backfield, one of the best running backs in America. Virginia gets out to a 20-16 lead. By the time that happens, you know you're dead. Syracuse stays undefeated, wins late 22-20, fails to cover the 9. They should have. Things happen. It's college football. So the lone win I gave out last week was your Air Force, my Air Force, America's Air Force. Air Force minus 24. Took an absolute beating to Nevada. And Air Force, the Falcons, our Falcons, were never in doubt. Service academies are my bag. It's where I want to get started with week 5. So I just want to get right into it. And that's how we're going to kick things off. This Air Force team, I gave you preseason. If you listened to the first episode of Snorling You, I told you this is a team. If you want to take a shot on some futures, they could win the Mountain West. Guess what? Despite that loss at Wyoming, that house of horrors for the Falcons, they can still win the Mountain West. This week, they get to go up against Navy. Navy, in preseason, it's a team you look at, 3.5 win total. They should have been one of the worst in America. They've been better of late. They get a little bit going on the rushing attack, and the thing you got to remember about Service Academy games, Navy, Air Force, it's tough for non-Service Academy teams to game plan for the triple option week to week. It's not as tough if you're already a Service Academy. Navy can game plan against that. Air Force can game plan against that because they run it. The deal with Air Force is they have a quarterback that can throw the ball a little bit. Zeke Daniels, I think, if I'm not misremembering the last name, great player. I mean, really effective passer. He's not the best passer in the Mountain West. He's not the best runner in the Mountain West, but he has good qualities, good skill sets on both sides in that regard. Air Force, really, really good team. Minus 14 here, but I'm more interested in the total. 37.5. The Service Academy unders are a darling forever. When you get Army-Navy, when you get Air Force-Navy, when you get whatever it is, Army-Air Force, you get these games, those Service Academy unders are darlings. I'm going the other way. Air Force is running the ball to the tune of almost 400 yards a game, and they mix in some effective passes. They're getting a touchdown through the air every game. Zeke Daniels been fantastic. This is a team that's very well coached. I think 37.5, it's pretty easy to get there when you look at the way Navy has started to play a little better offensively, defensively. They still struggle, especially in the secondary when runners get to the second level, but offensively they've been able to play a little bit more. When you're talking about 37.5 and a 14-point favorite, all you're really asking for from Navy is, like, get me to 10. 24-10, you're close. I mean, if you get 24 from Navy, I feel like, or 10 from Navy, 10-14, I feel like you can expect to get 24-31 from Air Force. They're that good. And that's where I start to think, look, over 37.5, I'm kind of in on it. America's going to be against it. It's going to be a big public favorite to go with the under. I like fading the public in spots like this where people just blindly see a trend. So I'm going Air Force, Navy, over 37.5. Arguably the game of the week in the ACC, NC State number 10 going to Clemson number 5. They're playing in Death Valley at night. America's going to look at this. Look, NC State's 10th in the country, Clemson's 5th. I really think you look at the top 10 matchup here. We know what Clemson's offense is. It's struggled. I don't care that DJ Uiagalelei had 5 touchdowns against Wake Forest. Wake Forest is one of the worst defenses in the country. When you look at this game, aftermath rain is going to be hugely important. You have two really, really effective defensive fronts. NC State, Clemson, both extremely strong in their front 7. And NC State kind of last year, if you go back and watch what NC State was able to do in a win against Clemson, they really bothered DJ Uiagalelei more than any other team did. And that's a kid who was bothered a lot. So when you think about what NC State was able to do there, and then I look at this game, getting 6.5, 7, depending on where you're looking, I really like the dog. When you talk about aftermath rain, it's going to be windy, maybe 20-mile-per-hour winds on field level. Look, I know that Leary, the quarterback for NC State, is not a super mobile guy. DJ is. Maybe that makes things a little easier. Both teams are going to be super run-heavy. I think this is a game that goes under the total, that stays close. You're getting close to a touchdown with the Wolfpack. I love NC State in this spot, especially because the other side of things, DJ might be a mobile QB. If it's pouring rain at high winds, mesh points can get complicated. You're going to really struggle with option runs, with play actions, with anything that has to do with getting the quarterback the ball and a chance to make a play through a mesh point. A lot of fumbles happen that way in weather like this. So I don't want to handicap 4 turnovers, but I wonder about the effectiveness of Clemson's run game and of Clemson's mobility ability with DJ, because the mesh point could be so bothered by the weather. The flip side, if you're worried about this, you don't want to take NC State. I understand, because as much as Clemson's secondary has been terrible and Leary might be able to take advantage, if it's a deluge, they might not be able to throw the ball as effectively anyways. And that's a bonus to Clemson's biggest weakness, which is the secondary. But I think if you look at the way this game got played last year, the way NC State was able to bother DJ, get in his face often, the ability and the talent that they have on their defensive front 7, I just feel like it's a spot where you're looking at 6.5. It feels like people have overreacted to Clemson a little bit. The offense has played a couple junior varsity teams, plus Wake Forest, who has a horrific defense. I told you about them a week ago. Clemson should have covered that 7. But I look at NC State right now, I think they're undervalued, and it feels too easy. 10 on the road, getting 6.5. It also feels too difficult because it's a night game in Death Valley, bad weather. I just look at NC State here. I think it's a number play. You take the 6.5 and you hope that you get it through. That's the side I'm on. I really, really love this play. I'm going to stick to a lot of the big games this week. I want to make sure I get a few picks out for you. And I want to stick to some of the bigger games that you're going to be watching anyway. Arkansas hosting Alabama. This should have been a top 10 matchup. Instead, I think we get number 20 Arkansas against number 2 Alabama. Bama on the road, a 17.5-point favorite. I'm all over Arkansas. I know they fucked us a week ago with the field goal that banged off the upright. Couldn't cover two. We push out of that. But Arkansas hosting Bama here, 17.5-point dog. I'm riding with the home dog. And here's a big part of why. Bryce Young, Alabama's quarterback, has had five true road tests in his career at Alabama, going actually on the road against a conference team. Bama doesn't do a lot of true road environments in the non-con. They play a lot of neutral site games. This year they went to Texas. Four of the five true road environment games have been decided by 3 points or less during Bryce Young's time at Alabama. So when you're getting 17.5 with the Razorbacks, true road environment, a team that should have beaten A&M, a team that should be in the top 20, in the top 10, this should be a better matchup than what we're looking at. I'm all over Arkansas. We already saw Bryce Young go to Texas this year and really struggle to score. That game was close. 1-point game. All these games inside 3 points, and you're giving me 17.5. I'm all over it. I mean, this is not the best coached Saban team we've ever seen. The other stat, in those true road environments with Bryce Young's Alabama, at minimum, Alabama was called for 10 penalties. Minimum. They don't do well with crowd noise. Procedural stuff happens. We saw it at DKR earlier this year. We saw it last year in Alabama's road environments. We saw it last year in Alabama's road environments. So I look at Arkansas now, and I just think asking Alabama to go on the road, true road environment in conference against a really good team, and cover 17.5, I can't do it. I'm all over Arkansas in this spot. Michigan at Iowa. Big, Big Ten matchup. 11-point spread. The over-under, I believe, 39.5. So we're talking about a very low-scoring game, obviously, because Iowa's defense is so opportunistic, so frustrating to play against. Michigan's defense is frustrating to play against and extremely good. But the worry I have here comes from the Michigan side of things. And I'll remind you, this is a team in Michigan that I've been on all year, playing the JVs, three of the worst teams in college football. Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn. The non-con was horrendous. Beating UConn 59-0 means nothing to me. J.J. McCarthy going out 2 touchdowns, 10 of 11 against Hawaii means nothing to me. We haven't seen J.J. McCarthy have a staple game in conference as a starter and display the ability to win the game with his arm. He was brought in against Michigan State a year ago. He lost that game for Michigan with a mesh point fumble. He was brought in against Maryland. He fumbled the ball twice. I mean, you look at this guy. Thankfully, it didn't hurt Michigan. But all this guy has really shown us against elite talent is that he puts the ball on the ground. He's willing to throw interceptions. He should have thrown one at the end of the game against Maryland. It ended up being an incompletion because the Maryland DB stepped out of bounds. It should have been a pick. He struggles with decision-making sometimes in a lot of these marquee games. So I worry a lot about what J.J. McCarthy can do in his first real test as a quarterback. Going on the road, Kinnick, Iowa City, the crowd's going to be nuts. You want to talk about a place that's a house of horrors for a specific team? Iowa City is hell on earth if you're Michigan. So this is a spot where, look, getting 11, you have to rely on Iowa's defense to be opportunistic, to get the ball back, maybe to score a defensive touchdown. I would never bet Iowa to win this game, but Michigan, to me, you're asking a lot of this kid, J.J. McCarthy, to go out first true road start, Kinnick, house of horrors for this team. You remember 2016, undefeated Michigan got their first loss in Harbaugh fashion on a last-minute field goal in Iowa City. Ruined their chances at going to the playoff. So this is just a spot where Michigan has historically struggled. It's a spot where I think you have to send your basically freshman quarterback out there against what is one of the elite defenses in America. It spells a little bit of trouble for me. I think this could be a really, really low-scoring game. 13-3, 13-7, maybe Iowa gets a pick six. But it's a position where I don't believe Michigan's offense is ready for the test that they're going to get. And I just feel like 11 is too much. If you find it 10.5, I like it. Under 10, I wouldn't touch it. But 11, 10.5, 10, that's where I start to get really interested. And then I want to talk about Florida State and Wake Forest. I mentioned I would talk about both Clemson and Wake this week. Florida State is laying 7. And I know people look at that and they go, well, Wake just played Clemson to an eyelash in Wake Forest. They have a great offense. We know the defense isn't all that. But you look at what Florida State's done this year. 1-point win over LSU. They haven't really played anybody. Duquesne. You start to think, maybe this is the old Florida State. I don't believe so. Mike Norvell knows the deal down there. The head coach knows the deal. Florida State doesn't get things right this year. Coach Prime is coming in. Deion Sanders is coming in. If Mike Norvell can't build a program, this is your chance to do it. At home, 2:30 Central kick, Florida State in Tallahassee. There might be some leftover weather from the hurricane. Wake Forest coming down. And here's the big thing with Wake. You just played your Super Bowl at home against your arch rival Clemson. You just had a heartbreaking overtime loss, 50 double overtime, 51-45. Heartbreaker. How do you get up off the mat and get up to go on the road and play Florida State? And this is a Wake Forest defense that let DJ Uiagalelei, a kid who we all, I think, agree has been incredibly underwhelming at his time at Clemson. People have written the book on how bad this kid is, despite being projected as one of the top prospects in all of America. Look. They let that kid get off. They let that kid eat. This Wake defense is awful. It's not a team that I'm willing to bet on. +7, I think you look at it and go, that's a funky number. I'm not sure I want to get involved. Florida State here, I think, is absolutely a play. I know I may be getting a little bit talked into this by myself and by the thought that Norvell's going to want this blood a little more because he knows his job is on the line. If things go sideways, Deion Sanders is coming in. It's going to be a whole new deal next year. But I think he's got his team in a position now where, look, Florida State a year ago loses the LSU game, right? You're in a position where, look, Florida State's learning how to win. They feel like they've turned the corner this season. They're having a really successful chance. Maybe they have a shot at winning the ACC. This feels like a team that's ready to win games and that's learning how to do it. So I think Norvell's got them in the right spot. I think you look at Wake, the Sam Hartman mesh point offense. If there's any aftermath weather, the way Wake loves to run that slow mesh, it's going to cause problems for themselves. So I look at this and I just think the number looks funky. Everybody's going to look at it. Wake +7. It feels too easy. People will buy into that. Dude, I'm all over Florida State here. The final one I want to talk about, and I'm not betting this game, but I want to offer it to you. Kentucky at Ole Miss. Kentucky's a top 10 team. Ole Miss a top 15 team. Both undefeated in the SEC. Look, you look at the number. Kentucky +7? This team that went into the swamp and beat Florida for the first time since the 80s? This team that really, despite the inefficiencies, has found success from their quarterback, Will Levis, has found some success in the running game when they need to, who has a vicious front seven, getting 7 points. Listen, be very, very careful. If you want to bet Kentucky, look, have fun. Nobody can stop you, right? Big Blue Nation. But the problem with betting Kentucky here, you're looking at a team that's getting 86% of the cash, the tickets, and less than 50% of the money. All of the smart money is on Ole Miss. The public is all over Kentucky. Typically, in college football and in the NFL, when you jump on these chic underdogs, these big, publicly liked underdogs, you're asking to get old yellered. I can't do it. I'm not going to bet the game either way, but I do think it's Ole Miss or pass. I can't ever bet on Kentucky in the position that they're in. And it's just a numbers thing. There are football reasons Kentucky could go on the road and win this game. There are football reasons why they'll struggle. But the problem for me is that number. Sitting at 7, everybody's on Kentucky, and yet it's moving out from 6.5 out to 7. All of the think about this. Look ahead lines were Ole Miss -1.5. 1.5. All of the public tickets are on Kentucky. That number's been bet out to 7. it's Ole Miss or pass. You can never bet Kentucky in that spot. If you want to, hey, free country. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot this year, but I feel like this is the week. I'm starting to see things. I'm starting to get the data points together. We're starting to really have game film from this season to look at, which is important because, like I said, the transfers have changed college football. There's more parity. There's more change year to year in how teams run their offenses, what types of players they lean on, what rules look like. Look, this is just a spot where I can't bet either side, but if you really want to have scratch on this game, I think the only way you can do it is Ole Miss. All right, that's Snorling U Week 5. Let's win some fucking money. And number two, don't forget, always listen to the Cap'n J Hood Show, 7 to 10 ESPN 1000, and check us out on the Cap'n J Hood Podcast. Anything you miss, keep up with it there. Great talking to you. Let's make some money. Have a great weekend.